Welcome to Untold Stories, a production of the Florida Theater and WJCT Public Media. Tonight's program was recorded May 30th, 2024. The theme, spring.
Okay, so we have come to our last storyteller, who is such a lovely lady. You all know that she is a third-generation Jacksonville resident, and she's proud of it. She is very involved with the community. Sip and Stroll on Thursdays is her baby. If you haven't been there, check those out. And she is the director of events for Downtown Vision. So, that being said, give it up for Haley.
Wondering in the meeting of the night with my father, yeah, what you gonna do with your life? Oh, that is still number one for girls. They wanna find. Oh, girls just wanna find.
So I was at my friend Brandy Matthews' birthday dinner, and I was seated next to my new friend Cindy Caldwell, and I was filling her in on all of the activities I was up to. I was telling her about how I was in my ninth year of my photography business, my husband and I's event venue management business had just taken off, and about how I was crushing my day job planning events in downtown. By the time I caught my breath, she looked me in the eye and she said, "Good God, Haley, you're so busy. What do you do in your free time?" Nap. Nap is what I do in my free time. Because when I have a spare 30 minutes, I look at all my calendars and I think, I just want to close my eyes and rest. And I think my love for a nap started at my Nanny and Papa's house. You see, right before I was born, Nanny and Papa retired because their sugar baby was on the way. So I spent every day at Nanny and Papa's house. From being a toddler, to my brother and I spending every moment we weren't at school with them, to even now as an adult, nap time is sacred to Nanny. She's so serious about her nap, she takes the phone off the hook so that those damn telemarketers will leave her the hell alone. But I realized that's not really a way to spend free time. I started thinking back. I'd been as busy for as long as I can remember. I thought back to middle school. I was a chunky little kid. I had braces and the stacked bobbed haircut of somebody who would like to speak to a manager. Listen, it was the late aughts. It was in style. But all my friends at the time were playing sports. Softball, volleyball, basketball. And I thought, I really want to fit in, so why don't I try this sports stuff? And so I tried out for the basketball team. And let's just say what I lacked in athletic capability, I made up for in school spirit. I wasn't quite good enough to be on the team, but they offered me a special role, team manager. And like every job I've ever had, I took it very seriously. I mopped the floors. I inflated the balls. I made the Gatorade. I even got to take score for both the boys and girls teams. We were getting ready for the county championship game against Yulee Middle School. And I had packed the bus up. I made sure we had the score books and my delicious Gatorade. But I realized the boys team manager was too busy flirting with the girls team and forgot to pack the boys' balls. So the boys' balls were left in my hands. So I ran inside and I grabbed the balls, and as quickly as I ran back out, the bus was gone. They left me. I knew I had only been asked to be the team manager, so they didn't feel bad about not including me on the team. And it sunk in even harder that I wasn't a part of the team. So I was sobbing, boys' balls in my hands. And I frantically reach in my pocket and I pull out my pink Razor cell phone. And I call the team captain, Shanice Bailey, and between my sobs, she was able to make out that I had been left behind. And I hear her call out to her mom, our coach, "Ma, we lost Haley!" And I heard all the kids laughing. They had only gotten about 10 minutes down the road, but to me it felt like an eternity. I sat on the curb, stupid balls beside me, and I saw the yellow bus coming up to Callahan Middle School, and I was excited. But that excitement quickly turned to disappointment when I saw the red flashing lights and the gates to the railroads right next to our school begin to descend. The bus had turned all the way around just to pick up little old me and was now stuck by a CSX train. And those aren't like Amtrak's, they don't go very fast. So I saw that yellow bus between each rail car taunting me, and I knew that the kids on the bus were doing the same. But you would have thought that I wouldn't have tried out for the next year, but I did. And I made the team. And I kept that bench so warm. It made me realize I should probably enjoy sports from the comfort of a seat. But I also knew in that moment that I would never be forgotten again. I made sure of it. Fast forward to high school, and I joined every non-athletic club I could. I was a part of the Spanish Club, the Spanish Honor Society, the National Honor Society, the Beta Club. I was class president 3 of the 4 years. I had been voted most likely to succeed, best all around, and even homecoming queen. No pressure, though, right? Everyone had to like me, right? The votes didn't lie. But why didn't I believe them? I heard girls whispering in the hallways about how it was embarrassing to be a double-digit size as I wore my size 10 pants. I was in a horrible relationship with a guy who didn't want to meet my family because that wasn't important. So I was so stressed all the time and so busy that I would forget to eat or I wouldn't be able to eat. But I had finally starved myself down to a size 4. That year's school picture was the one that hung in my family's home for so long because that was when I was the most beautiful. But it was when I was the most broken. I had all these accomplishments, and I was the thinnest I had ever been. I had finally earned that love that I had been seeking. And I didn't slow down after high school. All my accomplishments were just ways that people were telling me they were proud of me. I had to keep that up. I had to top the next thing. So I graduated high school and I finished my associate's degree at FSCJ. I swooped over to UNF and I was working a restaurant job with some of my very best friends. And at that time, you know, I was starting to build up my resume and starting to see what the great big world of adulthood was all about. I got introduced to a nonprofit called Rethreaded. They're a really great organization. They employ survivors of human trafficking, if you don't know. And it was working alongside those women, getting to volunteer with them and getting to know them and hear their stories, where I learned that vulnerability and compassion weren't weaknesses, they were strengths. I was volunteering there so much that the director of operations stopped me one day and said, "Haley, if I have to listen to your stupid dad jokes all the time, can I at least pay you? You're here so much." I finally got my first big girl job. And it was amazing. But shortly after working there, I was about 21 at the time, my fiance and I got a call. His 13-year-old brother would be coming to live with us. I was nervous but excited. At 17, I had been told by a doctor, "Haley, your weight's not your problem, sweetie. You have a condition. It's called polycystic ovarian syndrome. A lot of women have it. But you're going to battle your weight for the rest of your life. And you're going to battle fertility, too. it's going to be very difficult for you to become a mother. I was 17. But at 21, I was given a chance. With chance. Chance came to move in with us on a Monday, and that following Friday, Clayton and I closed on our first home. It was actually right across the street from my dad. And then that following Monday, I started a new job at the glass factory. It was a hell of a week. And it was a tough juggling act at first, you know, getting our first home. I was still trying to finish school at the time, planning a wedding. I had my full-time job that I just started, my new full-time job that I just started, and I had a growing photography business. After a while, I realized that a piece of paper wasn't worth my sanity, so I put my degree on the back burner. I had all these other things that were more important. But then we shortly realized that we were outgrowing our cookie-cutter home. We were spending all of our time in Jacksonville, and we were essentially just driving 45 minutes to sleep. It was a tough decision to move away from my family, even though it's only 30 minutes. Still a lot. I lived across the street, for crying out loud. But we did it. In the spring of 2021, we listed our home on Ingleham Circle, and it sold in 3 days. We're doing this. We were like, let's just put it on the market, see what happens. We had 14 tours booked in a matter of 12 hours. She was gone. But we started looking in the neighborhoods that we loved so much. And we shortly found our blue little bungalow in Avondale. Yay! It's so cute, we love it. But we finally got to move to the neighborhoods that we had been championing for so long. You know, we were so busy at the time, all I wanted to do was nap. And I was getting back at least 30 minutes off of my commute. We cut it down from 45 to 15. Then in the spring of 2022, Chance graduated. It was a big accomplishment. He's somewhere down here. It was a big accomplishment for all three of us, really. We were just kids trying to figure it out. There were a couple times we didn't think that day was going to come, but it happened, and we're so proud. And he's an incredible young man. Then in the spring of 2023, you know, Chance had moved out of the house at this point, and we really realized we started to get to know ourselves more, Clayton and I. And the Barbie movie was announced. If you can't tell, pink's my favorite color. And Barbie was my favorite toy as a little girl. It sparked so much joy in me to see that my favorite childhood toy was getting her own moment in the spotlight. Everything was pink. There was glitter everywhere. And I could feel the sands beneath my feet begin to shift. It was around that time I was talking with one of my dear friends, Amanda Rosenblatt. And we were talking about how there's not really a space for us chunky girls here in Jacksonville. We would go to markets and local events and local boutiques. We'd go shopping, we'd go look through their sections. I shared with her that there was even a local boutique where I asked, would you ever consider carrying plus size clothes? And I got told that it wasn't their brand. Got it, I'm not your brand. So Amanda and I were chatting about how we had these really extensive earring collections because she learned, just like me, that earrings will always fit, no matter what size you are. So we were bonding over that, and we were talking about this lack of space, and we realized, why don't we just create the space? We don't need somebody to make it for us. So we started Chunky and Funky. Chunky and Funky is an affordable and sustainable clothing swap for plus-size girls. Yes, We wanted to create a space for women just like us. And we had this amazing community show up and tell us, we've been looking for something like this. We've always wanted to belong. We can't believe there's a space just for us. And it was at these clothing swaps, we were chatting with new friends. Allison Galloway Gonzalez, one of them. She's y'all's friend too, and I love that. But we were talking about how we just wish there were more opportunities to just be together as women, as girls. She had seen the Barbie movie too. I saw it in theaters twice. I loved it so much. And we were talking about how much fun we had. I went with some of my very best friends. We dressed up in all pink. And we had our crazy outfits, and we stood in the Barbie box, and we posed because we didn't care. Because there was a line for other girls to do the exact same thing, to have their Barbie moment too. Everyone was holding each other's phone and making sure they looked just right for their perfect picture. It was this beautiful sense of sisterhood. And when I heard America Ferrera's monologue in the Barbie movie, she talked about how women tie ourselves in knots just so that people like us. How it's this never-ending battle of being too much, but also being never enough. And that shook me. It planted a seed of joy in me to know that I don't have to be all of these titles and roles and expectations. I can just be Haley. I can be my sparkly, loving, Dolly Parton obsessed, pink-haired Haley. I love you too. And after talking with Amanda and Allison, we knew that we had to create these spaces for girls to just be themselves too. I was taken back to being 7 years old. My mom would host these creative memory scrapbooking parties. Anyone remember those? And her friends would roll in these giant suitcases and they'd lay them open and there would be sheets on sheets of stickers and different textures of paper. And scissors. Did you know there were so many different types of scissors? I had only seen the little kind, but there were scalloped edges and triangle edges. And I realized I wanted to have more of that in my life. After talking with Allison, we were talking about how we see these trends for different crafts come up on Instagram. And we buy all the supplies, and we're like, yeah, I'm going to get into crocheting. Never done that before, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy all the supplies. I'm going to watch hours of videos on how to do it. And then life gets in the way. And all of those craft supplies go to our doom closets to die. So we scheduled the time. And we called it Girl Crafts. We met up at our favorite brewery, Myrtle Avenue Brewing. I bought enough craft supplies that I could run my own small Michaels. And we asked anyone who wanted to come to bring any supplies that they had hoarded, just like we did. And we'll have a community craft table. If you have something in mind that you want to work on, you can bring that. Or we have any supply you could think of, just come. And it was this incredible gathering of all different people from all different places, and we weren't our jobs or our roles. We were just little kids again, getting covered in glitter and glue and creating things with our hands. We were people. So this year at New Year's, my husband and I decided to pick up a family tradition where we would host a New Year's Day lunch. We invited over a bunch of our friends. We cooked the traditional Southern New Year's Day dishes like black-eyed peas for luck and collard greens for money. And I introduced all of our friends to my personal tradition. Most people pick an entire sentence for their resolution. I've realized a full sentence is a lot to commit to for 365 days. So I like to pick one word. It's a lot easier for me to focus on. I can meditate. I can sit with just one word. And in years past, I've chosen words like grace and intention. And this year, when I reflected on what I wanted to see more of in my 2024, I thought back to that moment in my mom's garage. And I thought back to Chunky and Funky and Girl Crafts. And I thought back to these moments where joy had been rooted inside me. So when I thought about how I wanted to spend my 2024, I chose the word girlhood. Yeah. And so now it's spring. And spring to me is the smell of jasmine in my mom's backyard. It's the pink azaleas in my nanny's garden blooming. It's picking blueberries with my cousins on the farms. It's the runny nose of a pollen allergy. I can feel my seasonal depression begin to melt away the minute that the sun comes back out and the temperature is over 70 degrees. Spring is a time of renewal and growth. It's a time where the seeds that we have planted begin to bloom. Thank you.
Untold Stories is a production of the Historic Florida Theater in partnership with WJCT Public Media. Barbara Colicello is the artistic director. Numa Saislin is the president of the Florida Theater. Jeremy Moore and Eric Stanfield recorded the live performances of Untold Stories. The Untold Stories broadcast and podcast was produced by Brady Corum and Letitia Barriola. Saul Lucio is the technical director. The live performances of Untold Stories were made possible by a generous gift from the Wolfberg family.